Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 11. I'm reading out of the Holman Christian Standard Version today. The devil left him, Jesus. We're talking about here in chapter 4 of Matthew. Jesus has already been born. And we see the account of the Magi coming. We see immediately that he is baptized. Jesus is taken away after his baptism to be tempted of the devil. And he gets through that in that first few verses there, verse chapter 4. All of that has taken place. The angels have come. Here in verse 11, the devil has left. And immediately those angels came and began to minister or serve Jesus. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. He left Nazareth behind and went to live in Capernaum by the sea. It was there in that region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, along the sea road beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who live in darkness have seen a great light, and for those living in the shadow land of death, light has dawned. From then on, Jesus began to preach. Notice the words. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who was also called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea. And since they were fishermen, they were doing this. Jesus said to them in verse 19, follow me. And he told them, I will make you fish for people. Immediately, those two guys left their nets and they followed Jesus. Going on from there, Jesus saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and Jesus called to them. Immediately, those brothers left their boat, and they left their father, and they followed after Jesus. Jesus was going all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. He was healing every disease and sickness among the people. Then the news about him spread even to Syria. So they brought to him all of those who were afflicted, those who were suffering from various diseases, intense pains, demon-possessed, the epileptics, the paralytics, and Jesus healed them all. Large crowds followed Jesus from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just lift you up again. Father, we have sang praises to your name. We have communed together with the Lord's Supper, remembering what Jesus did for us. We have memorialized your great servant, Billy Graham, who did nothing more than preach a simple message that you love us. You love us so much you sent Jesus to the cross. For Father, it's all about the cross. The blood that Jesus shed, being that sacrifice for our sins, and then rising alive 3 days later on that first Easter morning. Father, we praise your name that was the journey that you bestowed upon your Son, all because you loved us so much. A journey that Jesus took, beginning here with those fishermen and spreading throughout Galilee. And people from Syria and neighboring countries coming to him. The journey had begun. Jesus preaching and teaching, healing, all along that journey. A journey that would eventually lead him to the cross. And Father, that's why we praise your name today. For the great journey that Jesus was on to the cross. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, it's finally March, as I said earlier. You know, I love this time of year for starters. I really hope the cold and the snow are finally over with, amen? And I am waiting the coming of spring. Warm winds, bright sunshine, which in turn leads to green grass, budding trees, and sprouting of flowers. I also like it when we get to move the clock ahead 1 hour. We get to do that Sunday morning next week. We can enjoy longer daylight evening hours. No more dark nights beginning at 5 p.m. All the niceness, the sweetness of spring. With spring also comes the anticipation of summer. You know, in our area, summer is a cherished commodity. I was reading the other day something that was stating matter-of-factly, you know, in Northwest Indiana, we really only have 20 or 30, maybe 40 at most, perfect weather days. so that you can enjoy boating or fishing or going to the beach or a picnic or sitting on your back porch. The problem here is, out of those 30 or 40 days, most of us are working about 20 of them. And we don't get to enjoy it. It's a commodity. But hey, it's finally March, and we are on this journey to springtime and summer. Of course, we may still have to endure another late snow. Well, then we have to go through the rainy thunderstorm season of April. And here, you all know, we have to put up with those north winds off of Lake Michigan that freezes the average person trying to watch a child play softball or baseball or run track, or you're outside with soccer. And you know, you're those springtime when you got that blanket on. I was never so happy my kids would play basketball. At least it's warm in there. But hey, we're on this journey. We're on the journey to spring and warm weather. I like most, though, about springtime is Good Friday, the day that my Jesus, my Savior and Lord, died on the cross just for me. And then we get to celebrate Easter, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And those are perhaps the two biggest events in the realm of Christianity. So today I serve a living Savior. Today I serve my living Lord. Today He is alive in me, and I am new, transformed, and I am redeemed because of Jesus and His work on the cross. Amen? I don't know about you, but we ought to all stand up and shout, Hallelujah! That's why we're here. Say, well, I can't do that, preacher. Somebody might think I'm crazy. Aren't you glad that God's perfect plan wasn't that, hey, Randy, if you really want your sins forgiven, if you really want to go to heaven when you die, then you go to the cross. Can you imagine if our journey had to take us to the cross? And I might be thinking, that's going to hurt, Lord. Yeah, but you know, you get eternity in heaven. What a great trade-off. I've often wondered, would I still do that? And don't be so high and mighty and churchy today and say, well, I would do that. Think about it. But see, God's great plan for us was, I know Randy will wrestle with whether or not he'll really do that. And I don't want Randy to wrestle with it, so I'm going to send my son to the cross in his place. Wow. No wonder I'm excited about being a Christian. No wonder that this guy who went to the cross changed my life. No wonder I can say I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Most of us have experienced being early to an appointment or a meeting or a party. When you go to the doctor, you know, maybe you try to arrive early just in case there was a cancellation and you can get in a little quicker. But we also know to bring a book or a magazine with us because more than likely, undoubtedly, you'll have a long time to wait there. Conversely, most of us know what it's like to run late. We break laws and rules, right, Cliff, to get there as fast as we can. We get pulled over. Yeah, but officer, I got a good reason. I'm late for church. We'll text or we'll call. Hey, I'm only 3 minutes away when really you're 20. But you know, God is different. God does not come early, and He never runs late, amen? He never falls behind schedule. He never does anything last second. The Almighty God never strains to catch up or to keep up. His plans always come together with perfection, and they are always right on time. We see this vividly as we consider God's perfect plan to save us. Save us, mankind, His crowning creation. God's perfect plan for man's redemption and salvation is found in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. Jesus' journey to the cross began a long, long time ago. It began in the heart of God even before God spoke this world into existence. Jesus' journey to the cross took Him throughout the cities and rural regions of Judea and Galilee in what is now Israel. Jesus crisscrossed those areas and territories. He was teaching truth. He was teaching God's truth in a world that was choked by false beliefs and phony priorities. Sound familiar? Jesus' journey eventually took Him to the cross. where he suffered and he died so that you and I can be forgiven of our sins. Jesus' journey to the cross was that so you and I could be redeemed by his blood. Jesus' journey to the cross was so that you and I could be restored so we can have a right relationship with God Almighty. Jesus' journey to the cross was so that you and I could have eternal life after we die, living in heaven with Jesus in the very presence of God. I love that part of the clip when Billy Graham was saying a few years ago, hey, when you hear that Billy Graham has passed away, when you hear that Billy Graham has died, don't you believe it. He said, I'll be more alive than ever before. And so we got the news right away on that morning. Billy Graham has passed away. It was all over TV, all over the newspapers. I was thrilled because the gospel message of Jesus was being proclaimed all around the world. And some of those goofy newscasters didn't even know they were proclaiming the gospel. They were saying, Billy Graham has passed away. I kept remembering those words. And don't believe it. He's more alive today in the presence of God. His life journey brought him to the presence of God, all because of the journey that Jesus took to the cross. Jesus' journey also took him beyond the cross. His journey took him to be laid in the tomb. But he did not stay there very long, for on that third day, Jesus came out of that tomb, the stone was rolled away, and out walked Jesus alive into that bright morning sunlight on that very first Easter morning. Amen. The prophet Isaiah spoke of God's eternal plan. His plan to provide salvation in Jesus when he wrote these words in Isaiah 25:1, Yahweh, you are my God. I will exalt, I will praise your name, for you have accomplished wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. The Gospel of John also tells us about God's eternal plan in Jesus Christ when he wrote in chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God ever since the beginning. Long before Jesus walked those dusty roads in Galilee as a man, God, through the prophets, announced the Savior's journey to the cross. Generations before Jesus was born into that line of King David, God had promised to send his Son to earth to remove the curse of sin. That curse has been on every human being ever since Adam and Eve. That's when they brought down mankind because of their rebellion and disobedience against God in that Garden of Eden. For it was there where Adam and Eve chose, by their own free will, to eat the fruit from that very tree that God had commanded them not to do so. Yes, they were tempted by Satan, the devil. But ultimately, it was their choice, their actions, spurred by a heart of greed and lust that led to their fall and ultimately to the fall of mankind. And ever since that day, men and women, teenagers and children, all of mankind have been plagued, tormented, bothered, deceived, tempted, enticed, agitated, coaxed, and even egged on by Satan to disobey God and his word. And by our own free will choice, all of us have sinned against God in one way or another. All of us, by and through our sins, we have fallen short of the glory of God. Bible says in Romans 3:23, I love this. This is not Randy saying this. This is not Billy Graham saying this. The Bible says all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Before God created time, he foresaw and he planned out Jesus' journey to the cross. That journey lay at the very center of his sweeping, eternal, cosmic plan to save you and to save me from his judgment and wrath and punishment for our sins. I've been sharing this on Wednesday nights and maybe in Sunday school class. I've heard it said wrong too many times in too many years. God doesn't save you from your sins. God forgives you from your sins. You are saved from the wrath and judgment of God if you die in your sins. What does that mean, Pastor? It means, listen, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you haven't asked for forgiveness of your sins while you're alive on earth, after you die, you'll be judged by God, and God is a God of love. Yes, He is, but the Bible says He's also a God of judgment. And if you die in your sins, the judgment of God will fall on you and you'll be cast into hell forever and ever. I want to be saved from God's wrath and His judgment. Amen. How do I get that? I ask God to forgive me of my sins, knowing that Jesus paid the price on the cross. So don't just say you're saved from your sins. You're not. You're forgiven of your sins. You're saved from that wrath. God gave His saving grace for every person as a free gift. Here's what it says in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God's plan came together exactly the right time in history. Jesus stepped out of eternity and into time. He entered into that Virgin Mary's womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was there just like the angel had promised. He was there not a minute early and not a second too late. It was all divinely orchestrated for several short months after the angel appeared to Mary. In the city of Nazareth, a decree had gone out from Rome, from Caesar Augustus himself, calling for everyone in the empire to be registered for taxation purposes. And so there was Mary, impregnated by the Holy Spirit, who was traveling with her husband to be Joseph, who himself was visited by an angel and told that he should still take Mary for his wife, even though he had not been with her. And amidst the scandal of Mary's unwed pregnancy, amidst the ridicule and shame and hurtful remarks perhaps by their family and their friends and even leaders of the temple, that young couple traveled on a journey together to Bethlehem for the taxation census. And while there in Bethlehem, what a strange occurrence. No, it's divinely orchestrated. While there in Bethlehem, just like the prophet had foretold, again, not a minute early or a minute too late, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, was born in that lowly stable, and He was placed in a manger. His birth was greeted by barnyard animals. His first human visitors were lowly, dusty young shepherds who were directed by an angel to go there. On that wonderful night, heaven touched down on earth. God's eternal plan had begun to unfold. Jesus' earthly journey had started, a journey that would eventually lead Him to the cross. However, God's plans are not just cosmic plans. You see, God's great plan of salvation intersects with my life, and it intersects with your life. At just the right time and in just the right way, we all have this opportunity to come and know and trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Amen? Some, maybe most, maybe all of you, have already taken and seized that opportunity. You have already started your journey with Jesus leading your life. You are already on that journey of living a life that is pleasing to God. You are already living a sanctified, holy life. You are already heeding to the words of Paul found in Romans chapter 12. You are presenting your bodies as living sacrifices. You are living holy, acceptable lives unto God, which is your reasonable service. You are already not conforming to the world, but you are transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. You are already proving what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Amen. You are engaged in Bible study. Why? Studying to show yourself approved. You are studying your Bible with new confidence and boldness as God reveals Himself to you. You are praying more fervently and often, knowing that the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And so you were on that journey, a journey that took you out of your life of sin and to the cross of Jesus. And as you passed by His cross, As you stood there in front of it, you cried out to God, you cried out to your Savior in true repentance, you cried to receive forgiveness of your sins, you cried out for God to take your life and to set it apart for service to Jesus, your Lord and Savior, and to His kingdom. Amen? And I hope and pray this morning and trust that you are still on that journey. It's a personal journey, a journey that will take you from the cross of Jesus to a home in heaven for all eternity. However, there may be some here today that may not even be on that journey. If you died today, your journey would take you to standing in front of Jesus and Him saying to you the most dreaded words of all of Scripture, "Depart from me, I never knew you." According to the Bible, God's word, you would be cast into hell forever and ever and ever. You know, I preached on hell 4 weeks ago. It's a place that you do not want to go. A place of darkness, of fire, of torment. A place of demons and Satan. A place that the Bible describes as wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's a place where all who go there will be forever separated from loved ones who knew Jesus. But above all, I believe the worst part of being in hell is this. It's a place that is void of the presence of God. Those who will be there for all eternity, forever separated from God. But let me encourage you today. You don't have to be on that journey. That journey that leads to hell, you have a free will that God has given you, and you have a free will to choose Jesus. This morning, you can get off that road to hell and get on that road to Jesus. You can journey to the cross and accept Jesus' blood and death as your ransom and redemption and payment for your sins. You know what I believe? I believe this, that each one of you are here this morning, not by chance. You're here by God's divine plan, His divine timing, His divine orchestration. You may be here for the very first time or have been here for 50 years. But your journey that got you here this morning, I believe, is planned by God. And at just the right time and in just the right way, you are here today to make a decision. Are you going to be on that journey to Jesus and to heaven, or are you going to stay on that journey to hell? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, there is a way that seems right unto man, but its end is the way to death. Folks, we're all on a journey this morning. And do you know that all journeys involve plans and making plans? So the question begs this: what plans did you make this past week? How did those plans turn out? Some members of my family had to drastically change their plans and make new ones to travel to another state on the other side on the eastern coast to attend a funeral of a family member. Some people I know were journeying right along with their life without a care in the world when their journey was abruptly stopped and they found themselves in a doctor's office. Perhaps you plan to visit a new restaurant, or we're going to buy a car or a new appliance this past week, only to discover that the photographs on the website that helped shape your plans were just a little bit embellished. Maybe you had a day or days this past week completely scheduled, only to find your tasks at hand were too great, and there was simply not enough day to get it all done. And as a result, your plans for the rest of the week were thrown off kilter. I know all about those things. Oftentimes my day gets changed or rearranged. We all make plans for our lives, but sometimes those plans do not turn out like we want. Amen? Certainly you did not plan to get cancer. Surely you did not plan to have your job eliminated. You did not plan to have your marriage end in divorce. It was not your plan to have your spouse die at an early age and leave you all by yourself. It was not your plan to run into financial trouble. because of circumstances beyond your control. Nobody plans for family fights. Nobody plans for broken relationships. Nobody plans for sickness or illness or chronic pain. All of those things can and they will disrupt our lives. And we become frustrated and even devastated by these things that throw our lives off center. But you know, all of that really means nothing compared to eternity. I was reading Ecclesiastes this past week. The writer there exclaimed after he had planned, after he had worked so hard of all of his life, after he had amassed great riches and fortune, and all he said was, "It's all vanity." But take heart this morning. God's plans are to bring you hope. Amen. He is the means to relieve your guilt, to ease your grief, to set you free from fear, and yes, even to give you joy. Those plans, God's plans, are always right on time, amen? And they are much more richer, much more comforting than you and I could ever imagine. The Heavenly Father's plans are never early, they are never late, and here's the key, they will never disappoint, amen? God has plans for you. His plans for your life are built on the foundation of His love and on the salvation of His Son won for you in His own journey to the cross. No matter what comes your way this week or this month or this year or even during your life, God intends to draw everything in your life together for good. You see, God's plans will come together at just the right time. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose." No matter how dark the valley you may be on right now in your journey, take comfort in knowing the Savior walks with you. No matter how high that mountain of tasks rises, your Heavenly Father will somehow include them in the eternal plan of love He has set in place for you. That means you can face tomorrow and your future with confidence. You can face tomorrow with certainty. You can face tomorrow because Jesus Christ lives today. Amen. No matter what, God's love for you will not change. Whatever crisis you may be in this morning or face this week, God is already working in it all for your good. If the plans you make for yourself don't pan out, if those plans get disrupted or become disappointed, the Bible says don't be dismayed. Rather, take heart. Join in with all of God's people, knowing that God is there for you on your journey here on earth. Jesus was on a journey. It was a journey that was leading to the cross. When that cross was drawing ever so near, Jesus could see it perhaps in the distance, that short distance. He knew maybe only a day or two away. The Bible relates to us that Jesus stopped off in the Garden of Gethsemane. He wasn't there to smell the roses. He was there to pray. In his agony, he cried out to the Father, "Remove me from off this journey." In essence, he was crying for the Father to place him on another journey. For this journey that I'm on is going to be at the cross. I can see the cross. Oh, Heavenly Father, take this cup from me. Yet in the end, we see that Jesus submitted himself to the Father and he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." You see, I believe Jesus knew at that instant the only way for mankind to be saved. Here he was 2,018 years ago, and I believe he knew in order for Randy Forsythe to be saved, the only way that he has a chance, the only way for people like him and other thousands all around the world, the only way for the people to have anything, to have any hope, I believe Jesus was thinking, is for me to remain on that journey that God has planned for me. Yes, he knew very soon it would become difficult, but it was for the good of mankind. It was for the good of all of the sinners of the world. It was good for people on March 4th, 2018. And so Jesus said, not my will. Father, I'll stay on that journey to the cross if it means that people can accept me as their Savior and have heaven for all eternity. The prophet Jeremiah wrote to us in Jeremiah 29. He said these words, speaking from God, for I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you. This is the Lord's declaration. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you. This is the Lord's declaration. I will restore you to the place that I have departed from you. Today, each of you are on a journey. You're either on that journey that God has planned for you, or you are walking on your own journey. But God has given you the choice right now to be sure your life is on His journey. And it all starts with knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Paul wrote to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I heard you in an acceptable time, and I have helped you in the day of salvation. But look, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Jesus was on a journey to the cross for you. Will you go on the journey to the cross for Him? Jesus said, follow me. Will you follow Him on the journey to His cross and to a new life, to eternal life in heaven? Last Friday at Billy Graham's funeral, his son Franklin spoke the eulogy. He spoke of Dr. Graham's life's journey that has now placed him in heaven. And he finished by asking this question to all who were there, all who were listening by TV and internet. Will you be making this same journey to heaven someday? I pray that you will be. In the words of Dr. Graham, I can't control what you do with the message. I'm just a messenger boy. But I would pray, desire, that each one of you will be on the journey to the cross and go to that cross where Jesus died and where He gave you the opportunity to have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Don't let His journey to the cross be in vain when it comes to your life. That's the message. What you do with it is your free choice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we